choir and some soloists to sing. He said, I wasn't going to tell you you didn't have nobody until you said yes. But I had messaged KK last night, and I was like, I need you. And I prayed, like, Lord, please let the choir show up, because it's going to be just bad. But anyway, I do appreciate the choir. I appreciate y'all's faithfulness. Here's the thing. It's a midweek service. It's 100 degrees outside, and y'all are here. I had in my Sunday school class, we've been doing James. I'm going through the book of James. I like the book of James. I've done it, I don't know how many times. I've taught it. I studied it. I did it myself. It's very practical preaching. So I was trying to get something lined up, and I had a sermon about how not to be a shallow Christian. My Sunday school class has heard snippets of it. I've been working on it, and I was trying to get it pinned out. I had it in my head. I don't know if you've ever done this. You get it in your head. You go to pin it out, and I'm trying to pin it out, and the Lord wouldn't let me write it down because, again, I started thinking, or the Lord told me this. He said, hey, it's a midweek service, 100 degrees outside. The preacher's gone. If they're there, they're not shallow. So move on and find something else out. So pat yourselves on the back. Thank you for being here, because I had it all right, wrote out. It was in my head. I was like, Lord, this is a good one. I like it. But if everybody's here when the preacher's gone, I think y'all got pretty good roots. So again, I do appreciate everybody at this church. So that being said, find Acts 27. That's where I'm going to be at tonight. Acts 27. I was trying to stay something online with what we've been doing with sharing your faith. Has that worked out for everybody? This is yes. This is no. Okay. Amen. Just checking. Is it I'll be transparent with you. I try to share mine every opportunity I get. Try is the main word in that sentence right there. I don't do it every time. What was the last thing Brother Robbie preached on? We just finished up Bob, right? Boldness. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight a little bit, is being bold. Because here's the thing. It's hard to be bold sometimes, back again, when it's 100 degrees outside and your temperatures are already flaring already because nothing's going right at work. This is what's going on in my life. I was telling somebody earlier, I got customers at work that are pushing me to my brink. I got employees at work that are doing the same thing. And back in my mind, the Lord is saying, you need to share your faith. I want to share a pink slip is what I want to do with some of them. But I can't, because I need to share my faith. So I was trying to, everything that I got tonight has been on my back of my brain. And I knew I was preaching it tonight, and the Lord just stepped all over my toes. You hear preachers say this all the time, we're preaching to us, not to you. Today, everything that I had wrote down on this thing, everything that I went through, the Lord's like, slapped me on the back of the head. Like, didn't we just go over this last night? And I was like, yes, sir. A few minutes later, something else would happen, and I wanted to share my faith and be the Christian that everybody, be the Christian that I want to be. But then just stuff, life happens. Is life hard on y'all? Okay. Just checking. And again, this temperature ain't helping nothing out. But everything was just, the Lord was slapping me on the back of the head going, we just went over that. You just wrote this down last night. I gave it to you last week, but you literally wrote it down last night. You're not remembering. So this message is for me. I hope y'all get something out of it. Again, I'm doing James in Sunday school class. And in James, so I got my page marked. In James, the whole thing, he's telling them to praise the Lord when you go through trials and tribulations. How many of us like praising the Lord when we go through trials and tribulations? This is no. That's what everybody should probably be doing. So that's what we've been studying. And in James, it says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers like a wave of the sea is driven with the wind and tossed. It also says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I started stepping on the Lord started stepping on my own toes, and that was me. I teach Sunday school. I try to do what I'm supposed to do, and then life happens on Monday morning when I clock in. And then it drags all the way to the house with me because I don't have my phone in my pocket, because your phone, you're always connected to everybody. You just got to turn that thing off sometimes. So I don't want to be this unstable man. I don't want to be like a wave just driven to and fro. And that's what, here's, I'm being transparent with y'all. That's what happens with me. Life happens. I forget I'm a Sunday school teacher. I forget that he knows my name. Sometimes I hope that he forgets who my name is just for a little bit. But I don't need to do that. So tonight's message is for me. I don't want to be the unstable man. Okay? And again, I don't think y'all are shallow. Y'all are here and went through that. So I was trying to study this, and this popped in my brain about who's a bold witness in the Bible. And you can find tons of them through there. This story popped out in my brain because, again, it's talking about the sea and everything. And it's Paul when he gets shipwrecked. I don't know if y'all remember that. It's Acts 27 where we're going to start off tonight. Paul has went before King Agrippa. King Agrippa, Paul was witnessing to the king, and the king says, "You almost had me." And then he says, "All right, so we're going to send you off to Rome." And that's what Paul wanted to do. Paul was trying to get the message to Rome anyway. So he's on the ship. He's getting sent over there. That's in Acts 26. Acts 27, it starts off, and it says that he was put on a ship and given charge by a soldier called Julius. And he gets on that ship, and they start sailing. That's the beginning of Acts. But I've never noticed this before. So in that chapter, chapter 27, verse number 1, it says, "And then it was determined that we should sail into Italy. And they departed, and Paul and a certain other prisoners, and one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band." Let me get my glasses, because I'll be struggling. So he gets put on the ship, and they start going. I've never noticed this until the other night. I was studying, and I didn't even mean to read this, and the Lord laid it in front of me. He gets taken off of one ship and put on another ship. Has anybody ever noticed that before? It went over my head. I'm not that smart. And in verse number 6 right there, it says, because it talks about them sailing and where they're going from and where they're coming from. And verse number 6, "And there was and there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing to Italy, and he put us therein." So Paul was on one ship sailing where he was supposed to go, and it wasn't going the route it's supposed to do. So the main soldier, Julius, found another ship and said, "All right, Paul," took Paul and all the prisoners and took them off on one ship and stuck them on another ship. And that's where we're going to read about this, but the storm that comes through that they call the Euroclydon, it's one massive storm and 14, 15 days and no daylight, no stars, no moon, no nothing. But I was thinking, Paul was on one ship, and the Lord took him out of there and placed him on another ship. And that other ship was full of troubles. If he would have stayed on the first ship, what's to say that first ship, if you go look at a map, it was just running up down the coastline. That second ship decided to sail out through the sea and go to Italy, and that's when something hit. So Paul could have stayed on his one ship and everything been fine. But for some reason, the Lord took him out and put him on a ship that everything bad happened on. So how about this? Sometimes God takes us out of where we might be comfortable at, where we might be able to go zigzag back and forth, the easy route, all the way around and get to Rome, and put you on another ship just to put you out there in trouble. Now, does he want us to get hurt? No, but do we need to go through trouble sometimes? James says you go through troubles to try your faith. Okay, and I prayed this in Sunday school, and I prayed again, "Lord, I got enough patience. My faith has grown. I've been unemployed twice. Things have happened in my life." But Paul took off that one ship and put on the other ship, and he went through all kinds of trials. Sometimes we go through bad stuff, and it ain't for us. Because here's what I'm going to preach on tonight. Is that every Christian can be bold during a storm if we recognize the following truths. But here's the thing, there was other people on that boat. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but the Bible says there's 276 people on that boat. And spoiler alert, they all make it out safe. Because of one man. So just think about this. Paul is on this ship where he's a prisoner. He's taken off that one ship, placed on another ship. He goes through this storm. Again, it's 14 days, and they don't see a sun, they don't see stars, they don't see anything. The wind is throwing the ship back and forth, and Paul stands up in the middle of it, in verse number 25, right in the middle of all this storm, and looks at everybody and says, hey, verse 25, it says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be given as it was told to me." And before this, he says, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, everybody's going to be safe that's on this ship. So in the middle of his troubles, he stands in the middle and says, I believe God. So how are you going to be bold in your storm? In a storm is you've got to stand right in the middle of it and say, look, I believe. Not I believe what God told me, but I believe God. And we're going to read this in a minute. And he says, the angel of the Lord came to him and says, look, everybody's going to be safe. And he says, I believe what God tells me. I believe that this is going to happen. So how can you be bold? Every Christian can be bold during the storm by recognizing the following truths. The first one on here is that there is a truth that we're all going to go through struggles. Amen. Once you're saved, is everything just smooth sailing throughout? No. If I ever had the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord, I led them to the Lord, we get done, and I look at them, and I say, how do you feel? And if you've ever had the opportunity to be somebody, or be where they were, when you lead somebody to the Lord, you can just see it all over their face. They're just super happy, super excited. I mean, you're in the birth room of a new Christian. You see it all over their face. And I tell you, one of the next things I tell them is like, look, when you walk out of this room, it's going to be hell to pay. It ain't gonna be nice, and they look at me funny. I was like, look, I'm not gonna promise you something that ain't real. there's going to be trials. There's going to be struggles you got to go through. And that's what, if we want to be bold in our bold in the middle of our storms for somebody else, we got to recognize the truth that there's going to be struggles. There's going to be struggles when we go through it. And let's see, in verse number 14. So they get on this ship. They're starting to go. It says the wind's blowing violently. Verse number 14. But not long after there arose it a temperous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Which means they just took their hands off the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel is what they did, because they couldn't do nothing. They say, we let her drive and lowered, and excuse me, in verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Claude, and we had much work to come by the boat. So they went behind the island and they hid and they said, all right, we got a lot to do. Verse 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps, which are just ropes and undergirdings of the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, they strike sail and were driven. And verse 18, and we were being exceedingly tossed with the tempest. And the next day, they lightened the ship. And on the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. I've heard somebody preach this before and say they threw out the fishing poles. Y'all know tackling of the ship ain't fishing poles, right? It's how they drive the ships. It's all the pulleys and everything. All right, so they threw out how they steered the ship on the third day with their own hands. And verse number 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. So in our Christian life, does it get like that sometimes? Or we just throw up our hands, say, Jesus, take the wheel. We can't do anything. Where we, and again, this is me, guys. I've said, oh, Lord, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I throw everything back at him. It says, with our own hands, we threw out the tackling. We threw out what guides our life as a Christian. The Word of God, right? It ain't what I say. It ain't what your Sunday school teacher says. It's the Word of God. There's times in my life where I've pushed this to the side and like, this ain't helping me right now. I've done that, and I'm not proud to say it, but here's the thing. When all hope is gone, this is what we need to turn to. How to be bold in a storm, one thing is not throw out your what's going to lead you, because when you go through struggles, you're going to lose your heading. You're not going to know which way to go. These guys were traveling, and again, they couldn't see anything. They wrapped cables around the bottom of the boat, from the top of the boat to the bottom of the boat, because they thought it was going to fall apart. Just like, you see, these are a bunch of rednecks, Jesse. Could you imagine them? This is baling wire. Yeah. Does anybody ever use baling wire to fix something? Amen. Y'all don't tell Miranda, but her steering went out, her drive shifter went out in the car, and it's got fixed before, and on the bottom of the transmission there's a little linkage, yeah, and it goes back and forth, right? Well, hers messed up Sunday afternoon. She was going out of town Sunday. All the auto body places were closed. Travis, I knew I couldn't get him. I think it's baling wired up there, guys. She said, is it good to go? I said, it's better than when Chevy made it. So are we on Facebook Live? No. All right, good. She won't know about this. So anyway, these were a bunch of rednecks in this boat because they wrapped the whole thing in undergirding. They threw out everything they had because all hope was lost, is what they said. So as to be bold in a Christian, to be bold in our struggles, we got to realize that there's a path of struggles. We got to realize that when our heading gets lost, we don't know what to do. That's just part of it. It's not smooth sailing for us, that our heading might get lost. We might not have any way to help us out because we threw everything out of our lives. We've gotten everything out the way. And it says in verse number 20, it says, where am I at? And all hope that we should be saved was taken away. So when all hope that we should be saved is taken away, that's when we need to stand up and be the boldest. Because I'm telling you now, if you've been saved for 2 minutes or 20 years or your whole life, you're going to have a path of struggles you got to go against. I said this in Sunday school. If you're doing anything against the devil, isn't he going to attack you? If you're working for the Lord, isn't the devil going to try to stop you? So if you don't have a path of struggles, why is the devil? I mean, is the devil not coming after you because you ain't doing anything for him? So these guys, Paul right here, could be bold and stand up in the middle of a storm because he recognized the following truths. He knew there was going to be a struggle in his life. And he was able to stand up in verse number 25 and say, hey, guys, be of good cheer. I believe God's going to get us out of this. Brother Robbie's used this illustration before where he had a bandana. And you face problems. If this is my problem and I put it right here, I can't see nothing outside of me, right? But to be a Christian and to be bold in your storm and realize that there's a struggle when that problem's right there, to have enough sense to go, well, I know God's got my back. Every song we sing right here talked about he knows my name. He's going to be the peace in the middle of a storm for us, because these are all what we need to remember as Christians. So let me ask you this. Have you faced any struggles? Have you faced any struggles? And ask, and rhetorical, don't answer this. How'd you handle them? Did you throw everything away? Did you say, Lord, I'm done with you. I'm walking away. This ain't working right, Lord. Or did you stand up in the middle of the storm and say, Lord, be a good cheer, guys. I believe this is, we're going to get through this. The Lord told me. So first thing is you can be bold in the storms if you realize there's a path of struggles. The second thing, you can be bold in the storm if you realize there's going to be a salvation. Paul stands up in the middle of them. In verse number 21, it says, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not loosened from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Stop right there. That's about every Christian in here, right? Don't you want to point out, hey, man, you did something wrong. Amen. Paul stood up in the middle of the boat, looked at the boat captain, looked at the soldier and said, hey, man, this is your fault, man. This is your fault. But that's not what he did. He did that. But then he says, look, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be given as it was told to me. So how do you be bold in the middle of a storm? You remember the promise of salvation. Has God promised to be with us and never leave us, never forsake us? Amen? He promised. Is there anything that we have to do for that? The promise of salvation, there's no demands on our side. If it was, Jesse, I got to get up and pray every morning and pray every day at 6 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 4 o'clock, I probably wouldn't make it. But the promise of salvation ain't on me. All I had to do is accept Christ as my Savior. And once I did, I'm sealed to the day I die. Amen? I have that promise. So when you're going through all these storms, the promise of salvation, we can lean. That's the biggest one we can lean on. Because is there any dues we have to pay? Is there any discrimination? Does he say, look, only folks with beards can get in? Amen. Amen. Men with beards can get in. No. Does he say it's only for men, it's only for women, it's only for whites, only for blacks, only for rich, only for poor? This is for everybody. The promise of salvation, there's no dues, there's no discriminatory. It don't matter who you are. He says, come to me. And that's all we have to do. All we have to do is come to him. And imagine in the middle of your storm, that's how you can be the boldest. Paul is standing there in the middle of this storm, and he stands up and says, hey, guys, you should have listened to me. That's the flesh getting in him, pointing it out. Go, hey, I told you back there, but you didn't want to listen to me. But the God, my God that I believe, told me that we can do this. And he tells them, look, we can do this, and every man's life will be saved. God, when God makes a promise, he don't break it. Amen. I make a promise to you, I might break it. If I promise I'll help you move, I probably won't show up right now because it's 100 degrees outside. Amen. Man can make a promise. We get used to people telling us promises and not believing it sometimes. Somebody promises to do this for me, they don't do it. Somebody promises I'll take it to work. Somebody promises to show up at 8 o'clock and they don't get there until 9 o'clock. Somebody promises to pay a bill and they don't pay a bill. People break promises all day, every day with me. But here's the thing. My Lord, my God, that I believe in, like Paul stood up and says, listen, guys, I got a promise of salvation. He came and told me this, and amen, that's what's going to happen. So how can you be bold in the middle of a storm? Rely on the promises of salvation. Rely on that and lean on that. Masha, do you believe in the promise of salvation? How many times in our lives do we focus on the problem? Like the other illustration, that bandana, that problem gets right in front of us and we forget about the promise of salvation. It gets right here in front of us and we just get tunnel vision and don't see it. Paul remembered the promise of salvation that God promised him, that he was going to go to Italy, that he was going to go and stand before Caesar because he was spreading the gospel. He was doing what God wanted him to do. So you can be bold in your storm by remembering the promise of salvation. Because of that, you can be bold in the storm because there's a place of security. Where's our place of security at? We got the promise of salvation. Where are we getting going? This is where everybody says heaven. Where are we living at right now? Hell on earth, right? 100 degrees outside. What's the meme on Facebook? God showing us what it's going to feel like in hell. So everybody get ready. It's going to be a little bit hotter than what it is now. But Paul stands up and says, look, guys, be of good cheer. This is what God told me this, and I believe it. Verse number 26, it says, howbeit we must cast upon a certain island. How about that God put him in that boat for a reason? God put him in a certain boat for a certain reason, and God says, you got a certain place that you're going to go. Does God come to our lives and say, hey, man, just go do whatever you want to? If we pray and ask God for direction, does he give us direction? Yes. If you just get out there and drive and don't know where you're going, are you going to get anywhere? But if you got somewhere, you got a destination to go, God put Paul on that boat for a reason. And God said in verse number, right there in verse number 26, is howbeit we must cast upon a certain island. God's got a place that you need to go. He's got a certain place. But how do we get to know where God wants us to go if we don't ask him, if we don't pray to him? But we can be bold in our storm. We can know there's a place of security. There's a certain place you need to go. And this place right here, Paul says, look, where am I at? It says a certain place in verse number 39. We'll skip some of this. I'm going to come back to it. And it says, when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore unto the which they were minded. And if it were possible to thrust a ship. So they've been on that boat forever, and they were coming against all these rocks. Is everything we skipped across right here. They start coming, and there's the shoreline's rocky. I don't know about y'all. I go fishing down in Keaton Beach. That's where I go fishing at a lot. It ain't rocky in Keaton Beach. You can probably put a boat anywhere on them flats, right? But this ocean they're in, there's not the shoreline is not acceptable for boats. So they're going across this thing, and he said there's a certain place you got to go. And they get to this certain island, and when they get there, they see that this island is it's inviting. It's a cordial place because when they look, it says there's a shoreline right there. And you go study this, it means there's a beach where that boat can just drive right up on shore. So there's a place of security for us, and it's a certain place. And the sailors right here in verse number 39, it says, if it were possible, that's where we want to go. So when you're in the middle of a storm and you got to stand up and be bold and tell folks, because I'm getting way ahead of myself, the last point, that there's other people on your ship. Paul was doing all this. God didn't promise Paul that he was going there. The other 276 souls that were on that boat that day, they needed to know that there was a place of security. Paul had to stand up and be bold in verse number 25 and say, look, be a good cheer. I believe God, because he knew there was a certain place they needed to go. When we go to work, there's a certain place that our coworkers, our friends, our strangers that we run across, they need to know there's a place of security. They need to know this place is going to be a certain place. It's heaven or it's hell, and it's going to be a cordial place. It's a place, it says when they looked at it right there, it says there's a shoreline, and they can run up on there. It says they didn't recognize it. In verse number 39, it says when day was come, they knew not that land. So these people on the boat didn't know where they were going. When you go back to work, when you see strangers, when you go to Winn-Dixie, does everybody know about heaven and hell? Does everybody know how to get there? Do they need us to tell them? Brother Robbie's doing this whole share your faith thing so we can tell others about our faith. These people on this boat, they needed to know where to go. And Paul was telling them, says, look, this is a place where we can go. When they saw it, it says, if it possible, that's where we want to go. Sometimes somebody's got to put the channel markers out there for everybody else to get there. Paul had to be bold in this storm. Paul probably could have laid in that ship and slept, and God would have saved him. And he probably would have floated on a board right where he needed to go. But he stood up in the middle of it and was bold in the midst and said, guys, we need to go over here. There's a certain island with a certain beach. And they said, we don't know where it is because it's right here. Let me show you. Sometimes we got to put channel markers out there. Again, I like going fishing out at Keaton Beach. If it wasn't because of them channel markers and oyster and PVC pipes that mark all the oyster beds. Anybody ever go fishing out there? Has anybody ever hit an oyster bed before? I ain't. I don't want to hit one. Did it help your boat out, brother? Nope. Somebody had to go before me out there at Keaton Beach and put a channel marker out there and clean that channel out and tell me where to go. Somebody had to go out there before me and stop a PVC pipe on an oyster bed to tell me where the oyster bed is. Somebody had to go out there and stop on where it's high ground at for me. If somebody didn't do all that, I wouldn't have no fun on the weekend out there. Amen. How about this? Somebody's got to go before all these lost people and show the path that we got to go. We got to say, look, we can stand up in the middle of this because there's a place of security, and I'm going to show you how to get there. That's what Paul did. Paul put them channel markers out there. Paul put an oyster bed, oyster marker out there for them. Paul marked everything that's going to be in the way for those guys so they would know what to do. So let me ask you, are you showing others how to get there? Brother Robbie's doing this whole share your faith thing right now. Are you sharing your faith? It is quiet in here tonight, guys. Listen, y'all are the cream of the crop. I didn't preach on being shallow. Preach on being bold. Y'all were here on a Wednesday night. Are you sharing your faith with others? Again, life happens to me. I don't get to share mine all the time. I want to. I ate lunch with a contractor the other day, and I was able to share it with him because it was easy. I knew the guy. We were eating lunch. It was air conditioned. I had no problem. My phone wasn't ringing. That was an easy opportunity. But what about in the middle of a storm? Can I share it? That's when life happens, and I turn off Brother Matt and just put on Matt the boss man. It's harder then, but that's when I was all over my toes this past week because I knew I was doing this. That's when we need to stand there and be the boldest in the middle of that storm and say, look, guys, I believe God, and I want to tell you there's a place. There's a place that we can go to. So are you showing others how to get there? And lastly, like I said, I've gotten way ahead of myself. What about the people on the ship? You can be bold in the middle of your storm because there's other people on the ship. The Bible says, and I'll read it to you, there's 276 souls on this ship. I bet I didn't mark where it was right there. There we go, verse 37. And we were in all in the ship, 216 souls. I'm not good at this new math, but I know that means 276. Amen. There's 276 people on this boat. They were going through the same storm that Paul was going through. And what do most people, let me ask this, what would most Christians want to do when they go through trials and troubles? Most Christians throw their hands up and say, I'm done, right? They start pointing fingers at folks. They start saying, this ain't working. I'm not going to keep doing what you're doing. That's the same thing these guys did right here in verse 27. It says, when the 14th night was come and we were driven up and down Adria, and about midnight the shipmen deemed that we drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. So they dropped something down and see how deep it was. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it's 15 fathoms. So they're finding out they're getting closer to the shore, and they know this shoreline's got rocks all on it. Verse number 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast out four anchors out of the stern, out of the back of the boat. They threw four anchors out of it and wished for the day. Does that sound like most lost people in this world? When something bad happens, if the preacher tells you, if God tells you, if your own personal study says, look, I'm going to get you through this, I'm never going to leave you, I'm never going to forsake you. But when something bad happens, do you keep going the direction that God tells you to? Do you throw all your anchors out and stop and say, wait a minute, Lord, do you really know what you're doing? That's what these guys on this ship did. They were getting closer and closer and closer, and Paul then said, this is where we got to go. And as it got closer and closer and closer, they got four anchors and threw out the back of the boat and just stopped the whole process. I've seen that happen in friends of mine that go to this church. I've seen this happen in friends of mine that don't go to this church. When something bad happens in their life, they throw everything out to stop the process. Brother Robbie preached a sermon a year ago, trust the process, right? And we have t-shirts made saying that? Trust the process. God's got a process. Sometimes you might have to go through a rocky storm and go through a rocky rocks just to get to where you're supposed to go. You just got to trust the process. I'm teaching out of James, and he says, look, count it joy when you go through trials and tribulations because that tries your faith and makes us more perfect. Don't make us perfect, it says it makes us complete. So when these guys were going through all this, the other people, the people on the ship, if they would have listened to Paul, it probably would have ended right here. That boat probably just ran up on the shore, and they would have got out and walked, and everything would have been fine. But it says they threw all the anchors out the back of the boat. So when there's people on the boat, there's other people on the ship, they're not always going to believe what you tell them. They threw everything out, and it says, and they wished for day. It don't say they prayed for day. It don't say they went before the big G God and say, Lord, what do you want us to do? It says they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under the color as though it would have been, would have cast anchors out of the foreship. So they tried to sneak out the boat. They threw everything out, and they said, we're going to go throw anchor out of the front of the boat. And they walked to the front of the boat, and they went down a lifeboat, and they were going to sneak out of that boat. And Paul then told them, he said, you got to stay in this boat. You got to continue with me. And Paul saw what was going on. And Paul, verse number 31, said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. When the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. So Paul went and says, well, you got to stay in this boat to be saved. If you're trying to witness to a friend, you got to tell them they got to trust the process and stay in this. I was thinking about this in my head, how I was going to preach it and lay it out to y'all. I've had the opportunity to talk to new Christians. New couples that get saved, Brother Robbie's put me and Miranda with them to try to disciple them, to try to share our stories, what we went through. And this is stuff that I've told them, look, when something bad happens, you got to stay with God. And you got to trust the process. I preached this before where you got to, whatever. What is that? Is that you? I thought this thing was whistling. I've told him before, if you're in God's will, that's all you need to focus on, being in God's will. It might not be pretty at the time, but it's you just trust what God wants you to do and where he wants you to go, because there's other people in the ship that are going to be watching you. There's other people watching Paul, and Paul saw them trying to flee the ship and knew if they would have got out in those lifeboats that they would have surely died. The 276, if six of them would have gotten that lifeboat, six of them would have died, because God says you have to stay in this boat to be saved. So you need to be bold in your storms, because there's other people on the ship. And other people on the ship are going to want to get out of the ship. Verse number 31, Paul said, he says, you have to stay in here to be saved. So you need to be bold in your storm. God took Paul out of one ship and placed him in another ship just so he could go through this. But sometimes you go through these storms to be bold enough to say, hey, you got to stay where you're at. God's got a plan for you. If you get out the boat, I can't tell you what's going to happen. It's 276 people in that boat, because Paul took a stand for Christ in verse number 25 and says, hey guys, you go study this. It was Paul and it was Luke and probably about four or five other people with Paul were all on this boat, all his Christian buddies. Couldn't Paul just have looked at old Dr. Luke and say, hey man, we'll hang out over here. They can all crash and die. They want to put me in jail. They're being mean to me. Nothing's working out for me. Hey, Brother Luke, you go get the other few guys we got with us and we're going to hang out over here. But Paul took a stand and says, hey guys, he took a stand for the soldiers that were taking him to jail. He took a stand for the ship people, the ship captain, the shipman didn't listen to him. He says, hey man, we need to hang out here for and not travel out there. People that don't listen to him, he said, hey, we need to take a stand for these guys. So him and Dr. Luke and all his other buddies that were traveling with him, they could have just saved themselves. Jesse, wouldn't it be easier for just me and you to say, oh, forget about them. Me and you can fit in this lifeboat. These guys are Gentiles. They don't care. They don't believe in the big G God. Me and you will go over here and we'll hang out and do our own thing. But Paul took a stand. In the middle of that storm, he stood up boldly and says, guys, I believe God. And because I believe God, and everybody else listened to him, because there's other people on the ship, they were all saved. So what did they do? They all hung out on the ship. Paul came back to him and says, hey, they haven't eaten in 14 days. They've been fasting. I studied this. I don't know if they were fasting because they were scared or fasting because they were praying. If I'm scared, I probably ain't going to be eating either. But Paul comes back to him and says, hey, guys, we need to eat. We need our health. Verse 35, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. So he prayed before the big G God in front of everybody. And when they had broken it and began to eat, when they were all of good cheer. So everybody else was on the same page with Paul. And all of good cheer, and they were also, and they also took some meat. In verse 37, and we were in all the ship, 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. So they got all their food and they threw it out. They cast everything out that they had. They done threw out their tackling and they threw out their food and they threw everything out. In verse 39, and when it was day, they knew not to land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust the ship. So everybody on the ship got everything and threw it out. Because right now they were stuck in the ground. They couldn't go any further. They threw it all out. And because they threw it out, they were able to go a little bit further. Verse number 40, and when they had taken up the anchors and committed themselves to the sea, they loosened the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made towards shore. They got the anchors and threw everything out, threw everything they had, lightened the load of the boat, so they could go on and be taken on to safety. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck as fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. There's other people on the ship, and sometimes we need to let them see that they need to cast things out of their life to get a little bit further. What's holding you back in your life to go a little bit further where God wants you to do? Like I said, all these guys on their boat, Paul stood up and was bold. The other guys stood up and were bold. They threw all the anchors off the board. They threw all the food off. And because they do that, the boat was lightened up and they could go a little bit further where what God wanted them to go. They committed themselves. Once they took the anchors off, they had no way of stopping the boat anymore. Amen. How many times as Christians do we come down here to this altar and we pray, Lord, I want to get closer to you, Lord. And Lord might lay it on your heart, well, you might need to, you can get closer to me, but you need to get this friend out of your life. Or you can get closer to me and you might need to quit doing this. Or you can get closer to me if you quit doing that. And we get to this altar and we drop our anchors. It's all right, Lord, I'm gonna go a little bit further and get closer to you. And then what happens, Jesse, once we go back, step out them doors? We come back and pick these anchors up and take them back with us because we don't know what's going to go on in our lives. We want to stand up and be bold Christians and throw out the tackling, throw out the anchors and say, Lord, just Jesus, take the wheel. Amen. Sunday mornings, that's all what everybody wants to do. We throw everything out. We come to this altar, we pray, and it says they committed themselves to the sea. To be bold, you got to commit yourself before God and lay it all down. Paul and these guys in the boat had it easy. They just cut it all off, Jesse, and it fell into the ocean. Wouldn't it be easy if we come here and pray? And it's like, Lord, take it off me. And it just, the Lord just ate it up out the ground. Took up whatever else we were bothering us, what was slowing us down to be a bold Christian in our life. We can't do that. We lay it down and we pick it right back up. These guys in this story right here, they were all, because Paul stood up and was bold, they all stood up and became bold. It says they cast out the anchors. They had no way of controlling it. They gave total control of what was happening in their lives to God. Amen. How do you be bold in a storm? You got to give total control to God. Don't be throwing out anchors and trying to slow it down. Don't be throwing out anchors and trying to stop what he's going to do. Just throw everything out and give God total control. And it says, and they were carried to safety. And this is one of the things I really like in this thing. It says, and they those that could swim, swim. And it says, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. Sometimes in our lives, everything breaks and falls apart. Amen? But how do you make it through? He just told you, you get on the broken pieces and you float safely to where you got to go. When you're standing there tomorrow, you might go to work today, you might, or this evening, you might get a phone call and everything in your life just falls totally apart. Paul stands and says, look, we can be bold in this thing. He done baling wire to ship up, but by the end of it, that thing broke in pieces. But how did they all get to safety? They got to safety on broken pieces. Sometimes in our lives, when the thing breaks, and we're just like, Lord, what are we going to do? If you can't swim, I'm thinking about this being a, if you're not a shallow Christian, you might be able to swim through it, Jesse. You might have lost your job two times within about a year and a half, not have any way to pay your bills. First time I had to get by on broken pieces, Jesse. I didn't know what I was going to do. Lord, I know you got a plan for this, but I don't understand it. I got upset with the Lord. Second time I lost my job, I got you. I was backstroking. Lord, where do you want me to go? But the first time when I did it, I had broken pieces and I had to sail through to figure out how to get there. I couldn't swim out of it. So I'm trying to help you out. How do you be bold in this? You got to realize there's other people on the ship. Sometimes they need to see you swim. Sometimes they need to see you get on your broken piece and sail away. And 276 people, what if somebody says, well, I can't swim and I don't want to use this broken ship because it got me here and they would have drowned it, right? But because in 276 people saw Paul stand up in verse 25 and say, guys, I believe God, and I believe we're going to get through this. And when they did crash, if you could swim, swim. If you couldn't, get on the broken piece and float your way to safety. So when life hits, when a storm hits you and it feels like everything's going to fall apart, can you make it through on your broken pieces? If you can't swim, hold on to that broken piece, and God's going to get you to safety. So what are you relying on to get you to safety? You relying on God to get you there? Are you going to trust in him when he says, hey, I'm getting you through this storm? Are you going to be able to be bold enough to tell other folks on the ship, at your workplace, at Walmart, at Winn-Dixie, wherever you're at? Other people are watching us sometime. God will take you out and put you somewhere else just because those, it says there's 276 people. I figure they counted Paul, so there's 275 people got saved that day because Paul got on that ship and stood up and says, guys, God's got this. Paul could have easily said, sinker, I can swim. But 275 people made it through that storm because Paul stood up in the middle and says, I believe God. Do y'all believe God? Amen. Share your faith. Brother Robbie preached about boldness. It was the last message he preached here on a Wednesday night, was being bold. Bob, right? Burdens, opportunities, and others. Did God give him a burden for other people? Did God give him an opportunity to stand up and say, hey guys, I believe God? Was he bold enough in the middle of that storm called Euroclodon, to stand up in 14, 15 days and no sun, no stars, no nothing, to stand up and say, guys, we got this. God's got us. There's other people on the ship that watch us. Amen. I got three kids. Hopefully Miranda's saved. She watches me anyway. But I got three youngins, Taylor, Ella, and Hardy. Are they on my ship? Yep. Did they need to see their daddy stand up and be bold and say, like, we got this? I lost my job. First time, Taylor was 7 months old and Brandon was 7 months pregnant. Second time I lost my job, I think the kids were like 2 or 3 or something like that. We had to say, look, we can't go out to eat. We can't go do this. We can't do that. There are only 2 or 3 that didn't get it. But for a couple of years, we had to say, we can't do this, but God's got it. And we would explain to them. I stood in my ship in my house, the Douglas household, me, Miranda, Taylor, and Ella at the time. And me and Miranda stood bold and said, God's got this. In the middle of our storm, we stood there because we had 2 other people on our ship that needed to see God, needed to see somebody believe God. Hardy's thrown to the mix now. Does my little 5-year-old need to see his daddy trust the Lord during a storm? Y'all got kids in the house? Your kids need to see you. You don't have kids in the house, you got coworkers? How about this? You ain't got no kids. Are there kids here that look up to you? There's no teenagers here right now, but I bet we can, when they all get here, they can say, hey, I seen how Brother So-and-so went through this. I seen how Miss Lucy prayed her way through this. I seen how so-and-so got through this. They look up to us. Calvary Baptist Church is a ship. During our storm, somebody's looking up to you. You're going to stand there and be bold and say, I believe God. Blank check. I don't care what he says, I believe it. Like my daddy. My daddy had me believe that he was the smartest man on the earth. Whatever my daddy told me, it's the gospel. I'm 40 years old now. I know that was a lie. I'm 41 now, ain't I? 41 years old now. I know that's a lie. But as a Christian, we need to stand up and say, I believe in my Heavenly Father. I believe God. Blank check. Fill in the blank. Whatever he says, I believe God. He's going to get me through this storm, I believe it. He's going to pay my bills. He's going to pay my bills. If there's a health issue, he's going to take care of it. And if you don't take care of it, there's a reason why. Because there's a promise that we can rely on, that there's a place we're going to get to go. There's no music. There's no piano player. There's altar time. So what's holding you back from being a bold Christian? What do you need to come down here and drop on the altars, but don't pick them back up? These guys threw the anchors out the back of the boat, but then they had to cut them off and let them sink. So what's keeping you from being a bold Christian in your storm, in your ship? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done. Lord, I just pray you be with every family that's represented in here, Father. I pray you just lead, guide, and direct them. Lord, I pray you just be with me, Father. I pray you just be with us, Father. Let us be the Christians that you want us to be, Lord. I pray that, Lord, when we face struggles, Lord, that we know there's a reason for it, Lord. And Lord, if you place us in a situation that we're not comfortable, that there's a reason you did that, Father. Lord, there's a promise of salvation, Lord. There's a place of security, Lord, that we can go to. But Lord, most importantly, there's other people on our ship that need to see us stand up and be bold. Father, I just pray you touch everyone in here. Lord, lay it on our hearts what it is that we need to change in our lives to be a bold Christian. Lord, to show others in our ship, Lord, that we believe in you. Father, I love you, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for showing up on a Wednesday night.